Ah, sorry, that's loud. Not Dave. It's fun when my girls take out the phone and they show me. They said, Dad, you got to watch this video. And it has this woman, and you can reverse it either way, has this woman, no makeup on. And you think, that's somebody's grandma. And all of a sudden, she starts putting on makeup. And you don't know how this is going to go. She does this little thing and lines here and there, and I guess foundation, I guess that's what it is. And on it goes, and she goes, no, go, Dad, just keep watching. And I'm watching, and all of a sudden, turns around, and the person looked like they were 25. And I thought, or you hear stories, well, actually, you break out your phone, and you got the filters on your phone, right? Make your features softer, whatever else. Change the unibrow that you have instead of shaving it. It, you know, makes it nicer and gives you hair. Even animation, you could do different things. AI, you could do different things with yourself. Or these dating apps. You hear stories, and the story you actually hear it from is Dateline. Oh, this person thought they were, you know, going to date Brad Pitt. They left their husband and sent him $1 million, and you're not going to date Brad Pitt. Same in the church. People delude themselves. People lie to themselves constantly. You go to a big church, and I've experienced this, that in a bigger church, people are there sometimes, not Christian motives, to increase the size of their business. They sell insurance. Oh, you go to my church. Yeah, I'll start having my insurance with you. You do this, you do that, you do this. I'm going to support you. They're there to increase their business. I had one friend who had no reason to be in a church. That I think if he walked in the building, God would set him on fire right then. And I said, he goes, oh, I went to Hoffmantown. I said, well, why? I looked at him, I was like, wait, why are you going there? To meet women? No, don't. Just don't. I said, you know, God's going to strike you down. Oh, no, you meet nice women. I was like, no, wolves in sheep's clothing. You wonder, are these people Christians? Was there a hint of Christianity in their lives at any time? Were they? They lie to themselves, and they start believing the lie. They feel good when they come here, but when they leave and go back to the doors, what's their life like? Have they changed at all? Is there a change? You ask people and people will say America is a Christian nation. I'm not seeing it. I see a lot of Christians, but a lot of the stuff that this nation puts out, TV, movies, it's anything but. Catholic, Protestant, Orthodox Christians. Between 2023 and 24, the survey said 60%. That's a drop from 2007, where it was at 75%. Well, what of us? How did you come to know Christ? Was it an altar call at church? You prayed a prayer, you said a thing, you did a thing, and you're a Christian? A crusade? Somebody tugged on your heartstrings. You knew, I want to go. I want to be saved. Did your life change? I remember, I don't know if it still exists. I don't think it does. I don't think I've seen the church. Good News Baptist Church, I-25 northbound. As a 15, 16, somewhere around that age. I knew I needed God. And they had an altar call. So they said, hey, we're going to have an altar call. I was the first one up there. Nothing was going to stop me. I knew. That was it. Got saved. Okay, what's next? You ever catch a fish, throw it on the boat, throw it on the shore, and it's flopping around, gasping for air? That was me. What were they going to do with me as a new Christian? What was going to happen? There was no one there to mentor me. There was no one there to teach me. There was no one to tell me, this is the next step. This is what you need to do. This is where you need to go. Looking back, it felt like they just got me. Next. Not their fault. Maybe I should have been more eager to learn, more thirsty, more hungry. Teach me. I was there. I was there as often as possible. We want you here at Valley Christian to know. And if you've been here long enough, we do not have an altar call. Dave, David, me, we will tell you. If you want to make that decision, grab one of us. We will walk you through that decision. We want to make sure that you know. We want to plug you in. How to become a Christian. Are you a Christian? Class 101. 201. 301. 401. We have those classes here for you because we don't want to leave you floundering. We want you to know, are you saved? Are you in? Christ is the rock of your salvation. I've been whitewater rafting enough. A lot of fun. Usually watch the snow runoff coming from the Taos box, and we watch it get higher and higher and higher. And once we think it's reached its peak, we put our reservations in, and we go. We don't want nice little, it's a small world, Disneyland going around, nice and no rapids. We want excitement, danger. I got asked one time, I thought you were going to be home at this time and this time. And I said, we had a couple of rafts capsize. And two boats went in the water. I said about 8 people went in the water. We only rescued 6. And she was stunned that 2 people weren't rescued. I said, no, the other boat rescued the other 2. We rescued 6. So just wanted to make sure that she didn't question me again if I was late from rafting. But when they went into the water and they were floating down, they tell you to float backwards. So when your feet go out forwards, that if you hit a rock, you can bounce off with your feet. You don't want to be facing back because you hit the back of your head, you're unconscious, and you drown. But once you hit that rock, they grab onto it. That rock doesn't move. They grab onto it for dear life. And even when you get the boat next to them, they don't want to let go. They're not going to let go until they know they're in firm grip of somebody else back into the boat. Christ is the rock of our salvation. He is that rock that you hold on to for dear life. Don't let go. You can't let go. That's the question. Are you saved? After my salvation, there was times that I thought, dear Lord Jesus, come back now. This is a good week for me. If I die now, I'm in heaven. Yes. A week later, oh, Jesus, please don't come back now. Because if you came back, you'd probably cast me into hell. Wasn't sure. Didn't know. Want to have assurance. Did you say the prayer? Did you believe? And that's a big step. That's a very big step. Coming up in a big crowd to an altar call, we're going to play one more song, and they would keep playing one more verse. I know there's someone out there. They would tug on your heartstrings. They would tell you all these sad stories of people dying and not receiving Christ. And again, you're not going to have that here, because we want you to know and we want you to be sure. And we want you to be plugged in. Prayer meetings, ladies' meetings, men's meetings, we have them. We want you to know. We want you to be equipped. We want you to go out into this world that's 40% non-believers. That's kind of the statistics. This big bad world. And no, we also want you to share your faith. We want you to be sure and have that assurance. I was asked one time, if I was to die, would I go to heaven? Without a doubt, I said yes. And the person who heard me told me through another source, they thought that was extremely arrogant of me to say that. Well, why? Christ said it. Jesus said it. That's the assurance. He said it. I believe it. That's it. How can you not read the Bible and not know what Jesus said? You have your Bibles in your hands, hearing the pages turn, looking at the scripture. I thought, wow, that's in tune with, you know what he says. How can you not bank on that? How can you not believe that? How can you not hold on to that? We know that we have come to know him if we keep his commands. 1 John 2:3. It's not arrogant. It's not arrogant at all. It's assurance. Jesus said it. It's not my words. I am not saying it on my own. He said it. 2 Peter. I have 2 Peter 2:10. Where are we at? 2:10. Wrong verse. Sorry about that. 2 Peter 1. Therefore, brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fail. And you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Believe it. You have faith in other things. Lots of different things. That little yellow line running down the middle of the road, you have faith in the other driver that he's going to stay in his lane. You believe that. I was in jump school. Jumping out of a plane is not natural. They train you. You got 3 weeks of jump school. First is ground week. They put you in the harness, and they have you in the sand pit, and they just have you dangling there. Then they pull the lever, and you fall, and you hit the ground. You're only a few feet off the ground. Next week is tower week. You're up in the tower, 33 and a third feet high. Looks like a little airplane fuselage. You hook to a wire harness with your own harness on, and you jump out. There you go. Third week, jump week. 1,500 feet. They open the doors. Now, if you've ever flown before, They don't open the doors mid-flight. The propellers were going. It was loud. It was noisy. When they opened those doors, you still heard everybody in that plane. You heard it. I don't care how loud it was, and you heard it. So nervous the first time. I am the first guy in the door. 101. First guy. Whew. Jump master. He grabbed this little tiny female lieutenant and stuck her right in front of me. Said, you're first. Hooked in. You check the person in front of you because of the strap. You want to make sure it isn't tangled around their arm, that it's straight off their back. The person behind you, you're trusting them. Because if that strap is not turned right, this is what pulls the chute out. If you're not hooked in right, it's not going to open up. If it's wrapped around you wrong, it can hurt you a lot. Light goes green. My brain just turned off because they open the door and you see all these little trees going by and it doesn't look natural. You think, I'm not here. I can't be doing this. This is too stupid. And they said, go. So what it's supposed to be is that when they tell you go, the first person goes. Then they wait and they say, go. And they tell the next person, then the next person goes. So usually starting out one side and the other side, they're both going at the same time. What you don't want is two people going at the same time and they meet at the back of the plane because you're strapped in. It's called the airborne kiss. You smack each other. Your chute can get tangled up with the other person. When he said go, the lieutenant went. I went right after the lieutenant. I didn't wait for another go. I just went. The person behind me thought, well, that's the way it's supposed to be. They went. And so on and so forth for the next five people. They went right, and we weren't supposed to do that. They were so mad on that plane. I didn't hear it because I was floating down, nice and easy. They said, you don't. You wait until you're told to go before you go. Chute opens up and you're just happy as can be. Oh, this feels so good. This feels so good. Ground, ground, ground. Boom, and you're on the ground. It's just that quick. That's faith. There's no way in the world I'd do that. It's not natural. You're trusting somebody else. You're trusting the person who packed that chute, who inspected the, because you don't know what you're doing, inspected the harness to make sure it was good. There was no frays, no tears, nothing in it. That's faith in something else. Salvation. Trust in Jesus. You are saved by grace. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. You're saved by grace through faith. That's that first step. Got that faith. I believe in the Bible. I believe what the Bible says about my condition. Sinner. Unworthy. Going to hell. Out of God's family. Not even in God's family. Enemy of God. Faith comes by hearing. Romans 10:17. Let's go there. Romans 10:17. Consequently, faith comes by hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ, the Bible. I believe the Bible. The Bible, and I've talked about this before, the Bible has been picked apart by more critics than any other book on the planet. Picked apart. Well, we don't have a manuscript right exactly when Jesus said. I know, because they were passed around, they were destroyed, it was on flimsy paper. But we have so many things that are so close to it, 200 years, 100 years, 70 years after the death of Christ. Something very close. And it's been picked apart, picked apart, picked apart. What we have in our hands is 99.5% accurate of what they had back then. They had letters. That's all they had. They were being passed around. They were trying to gather them together. They were expecting Jesus to come back at any moment. They weren't like trying to preserve everything, but some people did. They copied them. They passed them around to other churches. We embrace Christ because he is our only hope. Repenting means 180, changing your life around. You're going this way. No, don't go that way. Turn around, follow Christ. Don't follow the world, follow Christ. It's not 360. You're on that path. You need to be on that path. That is where you're at. We acknowledge Christ as Lord because the Bible says he's Lord. The Bible says I'm saved. You take part in that. That faith is yours. You take part in that. Very truly, John 5:24, very truly I tell you, whoever hears my words and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life. John 8:47, whoever believes, whoever belongs to God hears what God says. That's what we do. You hear it, you believe it, you're taking part of that. But you're being prompted by the Holy Spirit. Spirit-led. Very nervous as a new believer. I didn't think I had the Holy Spirit. Because I would have other Christians tell me, I felt the Holy Spirit tell me to go talk to that person. Never heard it. Never heard that voice. I never felt that. The Holy Spirit wants me to. Never felt that whatsoever. So it made me feel inferior. It made me feel that I was missing out. It made me feel that I wasn't doing what I was supposed to do. But then I look back on my life. And I see the Holy Spirit leading me. Multiple times I should be dead. Several times I can think of. At least once I should have been murdered. And never found again. Sickness, injury, God leading. God led us here. We were looking for a church. And the church that we left, David and Dana. So we go see these other churches around, and we're looking at different churches. The David up in the Northeast Heights, cowboy fan. I think Dallas Seminary, something like that. Get here, David. Dallas Seminary. And all of a sudden, we looked at my wife and I said, if his wife's name is Dana, he had two boys. David up here had two boys. His wife's name is Dana. God wants us here. Her name was Pam. But then you heard somebody else, they called another Dana. We're like, oh my gosh. It kind of freaks us out. But like, this is our home. Been here 30 years. This is our home. Girls grew up here. Led by the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is, what, 2 Galatians? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. It is not a menu. You do not get to pick one of the others. That's all of it. That's what you are. That's what you, as a fruit, that's what that tree produces. That's what you're supposed to produce. Some of them are in more abundance in your life than others. I think the one at the end is mine. Self-control. That's the one I'm lacking in. Language. Anger. Frustration. people I deal with at work. I need to be calmer. I need to relax and know that God's in charge. I need to have that self-control. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Spirit-led. Prompted by the Holy Spirit. Draws near, prodded us along. Someone I know got saved. Not by me, but they got saved. And they told me that they felt that every sermon was directed at them before they got saved. They were like, they're talking directly to me. It's me. I know it. How does he know? It's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit prodding you along. We are adopted. Sons and daughters of God. I don't know how true this story is, but I love it. They were saying that a little boy at school, his classmates found out that he was adopted. And they were teasing him that he was adopted, making fun of him. He goes home and he's crying. His mom and dad console him. He goes back to school the next day with a spring in his step. He is so happy. He is so thrilled. And you know, like boys do, even girls, the teasing started again. There's usually one boy in particular. And the boy lifted up his head and said, "My mommy and daddy picked me. Your mom and dad are stuck with you. We were picked by God. We were prodded by the Holy Spirit. Christ hung on the cross for us. He was resurrected for us. Actually, for God. To pay the price to God for our sins." That went worldwide. That went to everybody. That opportunity is open to everybody. So I will never, ever turn anybody away from the gospel. I will never say that they're hopeless, that they're a lost cause. Because there's always that chance. Always. I don't care if it's at the end. There's always that chance. We do not know the full power of God. The only reason that I would love to go to space, and I just want to be in the solar system, I want to see it all. That will give you a hint of all the galaxies swirling around, everything just spinning, everything still working. That demonstrates a small power of God. I would like to see that because I'm impatient. Yes, I'll see it when I get to heaven. It'll be totally awesome. It'll be great. But we're adopted. We were picked. He chose us. If you read the Old Testament, Cain was the oldest. He chose Abel. It was not by birthright. It was by choice. Jacob, Esau. Esau was the firstborn. Chose Jacob. It was a choice. Rahab the harlot. Terrible. That's just terrible. Rahab the person of Jericho. Let's say it that way. Rahab the person of Jericho. I think she probably hates that she's known as Rahab the harlot. But that's what it says in the Bible. Chosen by God. That one point of faith that she heard about God and his power, that she saved herself and her whole family. John 14:15-23. If you love me, keep my commands. Jesus replied, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and they will come to them, or we will come to them and make our home with them. These are the things that we do. The Holy Spirit prods us. We're thinking about it. We did it. Faith. Now there's one thing that's out of our hands is sanctification. God sanctifies us. He's working on us. He's not done. We need to keep on. And that's the thing that we're talking about today is the full assurance of God. We want you to be sure so that there's no doubt. And there are times that you hear, like I said, science, that your faith may be shaken, your faith may be weakened a little bit by the world. Luke 17. Luke 17:5. The apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. He replied, Jesus replied, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it will obey you. In Mark 9:24, when Jesus was healing the boy with epilepsy, the father who loved his son says, if you can, and Jesus said, if, all things are possible to him who believes. And immediately, the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. Increase my faith. Increase the strength that you give me. When you hear me pray up here, it's always praying for strength. Strength of faith. Strength to remember Scripture. Bob has probably forgotten more scripture than I've memorized. He dedicated his life to God's word. That's where I want to be. I have no desire to be a part of the world, to spend my money to see movies or music. I don't. And I want to keep it that way. I don't need to go chasing after things that do not matter, that do not bring God glory. I need to be better. Not better than you, not better than anybody, better than what I was yesterday. It's a race. Finish the race. We're in a race and we're training for a race. To receive a crown of glory at the end. And once we receive that glory, we're just going to turn right back around and give it back to God. Because he gave us the strength to finish strong. I'm going to finish up here in Hebrews. Hebrews 10. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let us not give up on meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. But let us encourage each other, and all the more as you see the day approaching. When you're training, it's always good to have a training partner because you push your limits. Spot to help the extra weight. Running to somebody to encourage you. Because there are days you get up in the morning and you say, I just don't want to get out of bed. I don't want to do this and I don't want to do that. And they tell you the best time to train is those days. You get the best results on those days when you don't want to. So get up, memorize scripture, read the Bible, know that you're children of God. Know the full assurance as you keep moving forward. Your place is in heaven. That is your home. Blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Wait, Jesus is mine or the blessed assurance? Be sure. It's not arrogant. Somebody asks you, if you were to die today, would you go to heaven? And the answer is yes. And if they look at you aghast in some way, let them know that they can be there too. You may not feel the Holy Spirit prodding you on, pushing you forward. But when you look back in your life, you're going to see the Holy Spirit was there. You're going to know it. God wants you to do what's right. Keep His commands. Preach the gospel. You preach the gospel of how you live as well. The fruit of the Spirit. They just, trees aren't straining to make apricots. They just make apricots. As Christians, we produce fruit. Good fruit. Some people just don't want to see it. Some people don't want to be around you because you remind them of what they could be. But never give up hope on anybody. Always keep out that hope because someone had hope in you and shared the gospel with you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the mercy and grace you show us every single day. Thank you for the love that you have for us. Thank you for the blessings that we have your word in our hands. The strength that you give us, let us continue to run the race that you set before us, not look back, not drag that baggage that we think we have. We left that at the altar when we came to you. Father, thank you for the strength, mercy that you show us every single day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.